ale zuri shenu mekadem afana betoda bizmirot nari alo ki el gadol adonai umelech gadol al kol eloi
Today brings our concluding message in the series, Selah, Summer in the Psalms. I hope as we've been going through these psalms that you have been taking time to pause and think about the things that are being said, because they are based on real feelings from real people. In fact, we've learned that the book of Psalms is actually a group of 150 poems and songs and prayers that really express a wide variety of emotions. And God created us to experience these emotions. And the Psalms help us acknowledge the reality of them. And they also challenge us to make them a pathway for intimacy with God. If you were here with us in week one, you might remember I played a video clip from this overview of Psalms from readscripture.com, and it kind of laid out the book, and we learned that it was put together in a specific way. We learned there were two introductory chapters, and then it was divided into five books, and then there were five Psalms that were part of the conclusion. In the first week, we took one of the introductory psalms, Psalm 1, and we learned some important things about how the people of God delight in God's law, and they meditate on it day and night. And we talked about the importance of meditation, not the Eastern style of meditation that empties the mind, but the biblical kind of meditation, which means filling your mind with the thoughts of God, the Word of God. And we talked about meditating in it, marinating in it, and even memorizing it to help us when we are living the life for God. The second week, we took a look at one of the Psalms from Book 1, Psalm number 8. And in this psalm, we saw the psalmist write, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we see this special passage, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. And this was probably what David did night after night as a shepherd boy, laying out in the fields, and he was able to see without the city lights what the sky really looked like. And when he saw the grandeur of the universe, it made him ask, what are people that you should think about them, mere mortals that you should care about them? Even though we seem small in comparison to the creation, God cares about each and every one of us. We took a look at Psalm 34, also from Book 1, where David invited us to taste and see that the Lord is good. David tells us that by praising the Lord at all times, we're lifted above our fears and our circumstances. And praising the Lord helps us recognize that He is greater than any problem we face. The next week, we looked at a chapter from Book 2, Psalm 42, when the psalmist asked, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'm going to put my hope in God. And we talked about developing this passionate thirst for God. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for God. About developing a new perspective on life, not our personal perspective, but seeing things from God's perspective. And that creates in us a heart that praises God. The next week, we took a look at a psalm from Book 3, number 73. And this was the first psalm out of the series we looked at that were the laments. And laments were a significant part of the Psalms that really acknowledge some of our darker feelings. And Asaph talked about he envied the proud when he saw them prosper despite their wickedness. And this made him cry out to the Lord. But we saw that he worked through this because Asaph's worship experience helped him realize that his relationship with God was worth far more than any prosperity that could come from the world. The next week, we took a look at a psalm from Book 4, number 96, in the command to sing a new song to the Lord, and we saw it wasn't relegated to this psalm only, but throughout the book of Psalms, we're commanded to sing new songs. But we also talked about sometimes singing a new song isn't easy because we have favorite songs or favorite styles of music. And so you were challenged that week to think about it in a different way. The reason is if we get too focused on how we worship, then it's easy to forget why we worship, or more importantly, who we worship. So God inhabits the praise of all of His people, from all cultures, all time periods, and even all genres of music. And then we looked at Psalm 136 last week, that was the admonition to give thanks to the Lord. And we saw that in singing this psalm, the people of God remembered that their story is really His story. And I was so thankful that many of you participated and helped me preach the sermon last week in giving praise to God for who He is and for what He's done in our lives. And we remember the phrase that repeated at the end of each verse, His faithful love endures forever. So today, in our concluding message, we're going to take a look at one of the psalms from the conclusion, and we're going to take a look specifically at Psalm 148. So if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles to Psalm 148, if you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find it on page 511. We're going to start in verses 1 to 6. But we will read the entire psalm, so I encourage you to keep your Bibles open there. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord from the heavens! Praise Him from the skies! Praise Him, all His angels! Praise Him, all the armies of heaven! Praise Him, sun and moon! Praise Him, all you twinkling stars! Praise Him, skies above! Praise Him, vapors high above the clouds! Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for He issued His command and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. And so here we see this psalm, as well as the other five in the conclusion, are all about praising the Lord. But as Psalm 148 opens, it says to praise the Lord from the heavens. Now, when the Bible talks about the heavens, sometimes it means the place where the sun and the moon and the stars reside, and sometimes it means the place where God resides. And in this psalm, it's referring to both. Now, the angels and all the armies of heaven are also commanded to praise Him. The sun, moon, and all the stars are commanded to praise Him. And you got to wonder, why is this so significant? Why is the psalmist talking about this? Well, if you think about it, the sun, moon, and stars seem so amazing and captivating that many cultures throughout world history have actually worshipped them. We don't understand fully the purpose of the Stonehenge monument, but many people think because of the alignment with the sun and in the stars that it had something to do with the worship there. Many of the pyramids in the Central American cultures, the sun follows the angle of the pyramids as it goes up, and in the alignment, it's just amazing. And so different cultures of the world have actually worshipped the sun, moon, and stars. And as you probably know, some people today think that the stars have an influence over their lives, so they check their horoscope and all the zodiac symbols. Well, the psalm reminds us that the sun, the moon, and the stars must not be worshipped because they have no power of their own. They were simply created by God. And they were created, as this psalm says, to give praise to Him, to help us acknowledge who He is. You might remember Psalm 19 that we referenced in week 2. In verses 1 to 4, it says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone through the earth and their words to all the world." Isn't that amazing? Just the fact that they exist and they're so spectacular speaks to the power of the One who created them. It's the same thing with the angels in the armies of heaven. Whenever they appear in Scripture, they inspire fear. People are afraid and they fall down, and some people even will worship angelic beings. But Paul said in Colossians 2:18 and 19, "Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels." Because people would do that, saying that they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. We're told in Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God just like you and your brothers, the prophets, as well as all who obey what is written in the good book. Worship only God. So we are not to worship the sun, moon, and stars and the heavenly lights. We're not to worship the angels. This psalm reminds us the angels are not to be worshipped because they're servants of God just as we are, created by God. They were created to serve God and give praise to Him. You might remember in Matthew 4, verses 8 to 10, when Jesus was tempted, it says, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. And of course, Jesus said, no. You see, all the angels and all the armies of heaven are commanded to praise him. And the sun, moon, and the stars are commanded to praise him. And that takes us to verses 7 to 12. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey him, mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of all the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and young women, old men and children. So here we're told, not only should God be praised from the heavens, he should also be praised from the earth. All creation on earth is commanded to praise him. This means everything, biological, geological, and meteorological. We're all to praise him. The animals of the sea, land, and sky, the landscape, and everything that grows from it, and the forces of nature that obey him. Romans 8, verses 20 to 22 tell us more about this. Paul writes, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we all know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. So all people of earth are commanded to praise him as well. This includes the leaders of the world, kings, rulers, and judges. It includes men and women. It includes young and the old. We are to all give praise to the Lord. How do we praise him? Well, in Psalm 146, verses 1 to 2, we see the word, Hallelujah! Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. In Psalm 147, verses 1 to 2, it starts again. Hallelujah! How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. In Psalm 149, verses 1 to 3, it again starts. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exalt your King. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. Wow. In Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6, Hallelujah! Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with lyre and harp. Praise him with tambourine and, there it is again, dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals, with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the last five chapters of Psalms are all about. Praising the Lord. And the final verses of Psalm 148, verses 13 and 14 say this. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and the heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his faithful ones, The people of Israel who are close to him, praise the Lord. Wow. Let them all praise the Lord. Why does the psalmist say? Because he's the only one worthy of praise. Now, you know, a lot of people will say that people in the world today don't worship, but I'd like to beg to differ with that opinion. There's a lot of worship that goes on, even in our city of Cincinnati. In fact, we built a couple of worship centers down there, haven't we? We worship sports, and we buy the hats and the shirts, and we pay for tickets to get the privilege of not only watching the games, but paying way too much for stuff to eat and drink while we're there. And we root for the team, and we pay the players exorbitant salaries, whether they perform well or not. And there's a lot of people that want to give praise and admiration and look up to these sports figures. But you know what? If you've been watching the news, you know that many are not worthy of praise. In fact, many of them have been caught doing some pretty wrong things, and they've had to fess up. They've had to admit. And even though our culture is fascinated with people who can perform in the sports world and again earn exorbitant amounts of money, they're not really worthy of that kind of praise. For the psalmist is telling us that God is the only one worthy of our praise. He is the creator and sustainer of all of our lives. His name is very great, the psalmist says, and his glory towers over anything on the heavens and the earth. You know, at the conclusion of the messages in this series, I've been trying to do something a little special, a little different to drive the point home. But I'm going to invite you to help me again, because this psalm tells us he's the only one worthy of praise. And I want to invite you to stand with me just now, and I want you to sing with me about how great is our God and how worthy he is of our praise. You may know this song, but the lyrics will be up there. It's an easy song to sing, but let's worship him today. challenge for you today is this. Join the chorus of all creation. This week, take time every day to praise our great God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we so want to join the chorus of the heavens and the earth in lifting our praise to you. For you are the one, the only one, who's worthy of our praise. We pray that our worship today has been acceptable to you as a sacrifice of our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship.